All right, good evening. let's take a look at Psalm 109. Psalm 109, there's 31 verses. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, verse 1. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the word of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compass me about also with words of hatred, and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart, as he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with his garment, so let it come into his bowels like water, and like oil into his bones. And let it be unto him as the garment which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and of them that speak evil against my soul. But do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shaked their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion, as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. Let's pray. Father, these words are harsh, and these words are words of judgment. Show us this evening why they are in Holy Scripture, why the people of old were able to sing them, and what they mean to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Psalm 109 is the last of the imprecatory psalms. Now, what is an imprecatory psalm? Now, Jacob kind of explained it very well, but what is it? Anyone? Jerome. What is an imprecatory psalm? Yeah, well, the kind of psalm that speaks of judgment, that calls down God's judgment. Three times a charm for good, okay. And what we see is that this is the most imprecatory of the imprecatory psalms. It is so, right, judgmental. It is the longest. It is the strongest of these categories of psalms. In fact, you have 24 curses, you know, if you were to count them one by one. All right? And I suppose for us, we realize that David wrote this. So we may wonder, how can David, as a believer, utter words like this? How can he utter words? I mean, 24 curses in Psalm 109. Now, remember that the Psalms, they are messianic in nature. They point to Jesus, right? They point to what Jesus would do. They point to the experiences that Jesus would experience. And while David has experienced what he experienced, the way he writes it, sometimes when we read these Psalms, we think, wait, this didn't really happen to David. Why is he taking it so badly, right? But what we realize is that by the inspiration of the Spirit, he writes it because there will be a fulfillment. So David is speaking from experience, but he is speaking of more than just himself, right? Whether he knows it or not, right? Now here, David is speaking about his mortal enemy, right? It could be Doeg the Edomite, it could be Ahithophel, we don't know who. But we know from New Testament scripture that this finds its fulfillment in Judas Iscariot, right? And we'll see that in a little while. Now, I think before we really delve into the psalm, I want to firstly talk about things to note when we study the imprecatory psalms, so that we are not, you know, taken aback, you know, in, you know, very, you know, in modern evangelicalism, you know, we, you know, everything's nice, everything's rosy, you know, but actually the Bible is more than that. Right? It talks about not only salvation, mercy, love, it talks about judgment. And, you know, as we've been studying the Psalms, it almost seems as if, well, three-quarters of what we study are about judgment. You know, Mark, where do you find so many things to talk about when it comes to judgment? Right? But here, we need to understand that I believe the Psalms not only teach us the mercy of God, but it gives us a better understanding of His holiness, of His judgment. And that is something that New Testament Christians and especially modern, you know, we who live in the modern evangelical, you know, setting, we need to remember as well. Okay? Now, there are a few things that we can notice about imprecatory psalms. Now, firstly, they are songs, so they are meant to be sung. Now, we might often think, boy, how can I sing something like this? We sing it with understanding. I think that's important. Right? We sing it knowing what it's talking about and its fulfillment in Christ. Now, firstly, they are songs that call down God's curses on the wicked, especially on those who are attacking God's people. You know, since God cares for His people above the rest of the world, therefore, an assault on God's people is an assault on God. I think that's important. David could call down these curses not because he necessarily personally had been affected, but because God has. Remember what it says in James, when you curse man, who are you actually cursing? God. Because man is created in the image of God. Right? How much more the believer? Now, secondly, the curses in the imprecatory Psalms are so severe that we know that no man can accomplish it. What does David pray for here? Right? Boy, these curses are unimaginable. No man is able to carry these out. And so we see here that it is calling for divine judgment. Now, thirdly, these curses, in the end, are not without merit. Okay? Now, we may read this and say, Ayya, alama, how come so intense? But these judgments are actually, you know, very justified. They're not without merit. Because ultimately, in the day that thou eatest of this fruit, thou shalt surely die. Right? I mean, eternal punishment. There's nothing worse than this, than that. And these judgments here are, whatever they are less bad than eternal judgment. So, you know, these judgments, as bad as they are still, you know, with merit. Now, fourthly, and this might sound, you know, hard to utter, hard to accept, but it is right to desire the punishment of the wicked. Now, we have to remember, you know, it's not a matter of personal vendetta, but it is right to desire the punishment of the wicked. I mean, we do it all the time, knowingly or unknowingly. When we hear on the news of someone mass murdering hundreds of people, and then at the end of it he's sent to prison, what's our sense of justice? What do we say? Good. He didn't get what he actually deserved. He should have gotten more, right? I mean, those who had gone through the Nazi regimes, they held the Nuremberg trials thereafter, right? That was considered justice. So it is not wrong to desire the punishment of the wicked, right? Lastly, I think it's important for us to know as well that while it is right to, and while the judgment is right, and while punishment is right, it is also right to yearn, right, that the wicked turn from their sins. All right, well, we're talking really in this psalm about the fulfillment of it in Judas Iscariot. Jesus, what did Jesus do? He offered that sop. He offered mercy on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So these words here are the words of Christ. Those words in the New Testament are the words of Christ as well. So it's not inconsistent. So with that in mind, we take a look at this psalm. Now, there are two learning points. Firstly, we see the problems that David faced. And of course, we see the problems that the greater David faced also. And the curses that David uttered, and the curses that the greater David uttered as well. So firstly, we see the problem that David faced. Now, verses 1 to 5, he prays to God to deliver him. Why? Well, he's the victim here of character assassination. Right? 2 to 5, verses 2 to 5, it says, "For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries. But I give myself unto prayer, and they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love." All right. So he's the victim here of character assassination. He's the target of malicious and destructive words, intense opposition, when what he has done only is to show love, right? All he has done is shown love, and he receives such opposition. Now, who does this remind you of? It reminds you of, right, Christ, doesn't it? Christ, right, faced as the greater David, what we see here. All he showed on people was love and compassion. He spoke words of truth, but he was a target of hostility. Right? David was hated. He showed love. Jesus was rewarded with evil for his good. Right? John 15:24-25. Let me just read what Jesus said. He said, "If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." So Jesus showed love, but was hated. David, the same thing. And that, of course, Psalm 109 is a prophecy of what we see here. Now, next we look at the curses that David and the greater David hurled against their enemies. Now remember that these curses are deserved, okay? They're deserved. They're the curses that all of us ought to experience as well. Now what is interesting here is in verses 2 and 3, the psalmist is speaking about the wicked. How does he refer to them? What personal pronoun does he use? He uses they, right? They. So there's more than one. But now, when he utters the curses from verse 7 onwards, it's no longer they, but it is him. Okay? Verse 7, let him be condemned. Right? Let his prayer become sin. Verse 8, let his days be few. Let another take his office. So from plural, it becomes singular. And the real reason for this is because the actual enemy that David is prophetically speaking about, who is that? It's Judas Iscariot, right? Verse 8, it's significant. It says, let his days be few, and let another take his office. Okay? Now, the New Testament interprets the Old. So let's take a look at Acts 1:15-20. Acts 1:15-20. I'll just read it. Acts 1:15-20. It says, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falleth headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. That's a wonderful Sunday morning sermon, right? And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Aseldama, which is to say the field of blood. Now get this, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric, his office, let another take. So verse 20 is taken from two passages in the book of Psalms. Psalm 69, verse 25 tells us, let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. And the end of that verse, end of verse 20, is taken from Psalm 109, verse 8. Let another take his office. Okay? So who was Peter speaking about? He's speaking about Judas. Who was David speaking about prophetically? Judas. Right? Judas is the one. And verse 6 makes this a lot clearer. Let thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. Satan and Judas, remember the connection that thou doest do quickly. And what happened? Satan entered him, right? Satan entered into Judas. So this is a prophetic judgment of Judas. Now remember, you know, why would David say such things? David was actually not a vindictive man. You know, he encountered Saul many, many times, right? And he actually let Saul go. So, you know, why would he say these things? And Jesus himself, you know, Jesus was not a vindictive man. Jesus was the one who taught if a man smacks you on, you know, your right cheek, give him your left cheek, right? Jesus was not a vindictive person. I mean, after all, he was the one who cried out from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So these words then, right, are not merely words. They are not words of personal vendetta. They are words of divine judgment. Remember, Jesus is the very same Jesus, the one who said those words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he is the same one, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave these words to David to write. So these words here are therefore a picture of what sin really deserves. Now we may look at this and we may, you know, perhaps in our, you know, New Testament mindset or modern evangelical mindset say, oh, how horrible this is. No, this is right. This is only right. And these words tell us, right, especially the beginning, verses 1 to 5, what Jesus himself went through, right? So we appreciate this a whole lot more when we realize that these are the judgments which should be ours, which were given to Christ. That's even more wonderful. He bears these punishments for us, right? The Bible tells us he was cut off from his brethren. And that's a word that we find here in the Psalm. Let him be cut off. Right? Let their children be fatherless. You know, that's another word of saying, you know, let the man be cut off. But Jesus was cut off from his brethren for us. You know, we've been studying the doctrine of reprobation in our adult class, right? And that's been hard going. But remember, when we talk about reprobation and judgment, people are not condemned because God did not elect them. People are condemned because of their sin. And that's why as God's people, you know, there ought to be this immense gratitude for the mercy that he has shown to us. Because this judgment should be ours. And let all of us here be convinced of that. What Christ suffered for his enemies. All right? Let's pray. Gracious Father, these words shock us, for these are the words of judgment, but they shock us less when we know that we do deserve it. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But we thank you for Christ and his work on the cross, that he saves us who are sinners. Father, help us, Lord, even as we sing this psalm, to know, to understand what it is that we have done to Christ. That should we have been there, we would have been Judas. We would have been Peter. We would have denied you and crucified you. So we thank you for your immense love for us. May this kindness truly work repentance in our hearts. when we understand it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.